Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, please, this morning. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read one verse this morning in Romans chapter 8. That's verse 28. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read aloud the first time through and you along silently. And then if we'll read together the second time through in unison. That's Romans 8:28 is our text this morning. As you're finding that, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God, giving honor to the Bible as we read the Word of God this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now let's read together, please. And we all know that all together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning, particularly this passage. We thank you for your promises, your rebukes, all the word of God, but especially this verse this morning. Now, help our pastor. Use him to help us from this text this morning. God, do a work in our hearts and our lives. Make us better Christians, better parents, better grandparents. Just do a work in our lives today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room or on the internet that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I ask you to sit real still. Listen carefully for a few moments. Romans 8:28. How many of you this morning could quote that verse without even looking at in the Bible? Guaranteed you could. How many of you have ever used this verse in different circumstances in your life? It's a great verse to quote. It's another verse to believe. And more importantly, it's another verse for us to practice or to keep. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Have you ever taken that verse and just broken it into simple phrases and thought on it for a moment? Just the "and we know" part. Just good to know some things, yes? There it means to know for certain, to know for sure. There it means to know without any doubts in our minds. There it means to know with confidence. And we know. But what is it that we know? All things work together for good. All things. You know, that's an amazing statement when you stop to think about what life brings to us at times, yes? Hey, all things. All things work together for good. Qualification. Who's good? Yours? Society's? Or if we interpret it correctly, God's determination of what's good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So then there's steps I need to take to see the all things. If you break this down into phrases and you run it past your thoughts a few moments and ask God to help you with it, you'll find that it opens up a lot of things in life. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Quoting Romans 8:28 is one thing. Believing it, that's another. But practicing what it says, that's when Romans 8:28 becomes yours. I've quoted it myself in different places in my life. Cemetery. Hospital. Way dark in the midnight when the troubles of my day and my life kept me awake. Times when I had my questions, doubts about things, and something happened and I thought, what in the world is this all about? Well, all things work together. I've quoted it to people before in their times at the cemetery, in a hospital, in their dark midnight, in their battles. I've had people quote it to me when quite frankly, I didn't want to listen to it. Well, after all, Pastor, all things work together for good. What I want to talk to you about this morning is simply this. How do we know if we've applied this verse correctly or not? Some people, they do. They misuse this verse. Listen, they quote Romans 8:28 to what's happened in their life, and they misuse it because they have something in their life that's not right. They have sin in their life, and they expect all things to work together for good without getting right about anything. Romans 8:28 won't work for that. You can't hide behind Romans 8:28. You can't go out and make a mess, do all the stuff you want to do, do everything that's not right, and then say, well, after all things work together. No, they won't work together for good. You misuse this verse, you're going to get yourself in big trouble. So it's not a cover. It's not a shield. We've got to make sure we do the right thing there. Some mistime this verse. What do I mean by that? They believe all things will work together for good, but the problem is it isn't working on their time frame. It doesn't happen when they want it to. Doesn't the Bible say all things work together for good? I'd like to see when that's going to happen. You're messing around with something here. You're expecting you to claim a verse and God give you instantaneous results on your time frame. You miss time, Romans 8:28. It won't work. Then there are those today who misinterpret this verse. By that I mean this. They look at all things work together for good and they say, well, I don't see how anything good could come out of this. I don't know how any good could ever come out of something. Please remember something. Now, we said this many times here at our church, and understand this. There are two parts to this verse. There's God's part and there's your part. God's part is how all things work together for good. Don't ever get over on that side of Romans 8:28. That's when you're going to mess up with this verse. I don't see how it could possibly happen. I don't see the point. There's no way this could, nothing good could ever come out of this, ever. You're on God's side of Romans 8:28. You need to get off that now. You need to stop being God, number one. Number two, you need to stop expecting that somehow or another you can see the good, that God can see it much better than we can. Yes? So don't take Romans 8:28 now and misinterpret it and misapply it, as it were, in your life. Christian, listen to me. Take that verse and cut it in half. You get on God's side, of Romans 8:28, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. Get off that side. All things work together for good. Yeah, but it says we know that. No, we know it because we know God is the one who makes all things work together for good. That's what we know. If we leave His side alone and we get on our side, hey, our side is to love Him and live in His purpose. Well, how do we know if we've applied this verse correctly? It came to me, I was listening to a news report, and all these disasters that have struck our country lately and in the world today, the hurricanes and the flooding and all that. It was the one when the hurricane hit Houston, and there was so much flooding there in the Houston area. They were interviewing a lady, and she was standing out in her front yard, and her house had been flooded out. All her furniture, all her possessions were piled up in the yard, as they do to get everything cleared out. And the reporter was standing there, and he said, well, ma'am, how is it today that you have become the victim of a flood? And she looked at him very simply and said, sir, I'm not a victim of this flood. I'm a recipient of this flood. And all things work together for good. And I thought, whoa, is that Romans 8:28 or what? Not a victim. You know how you know if you're applying this verse correctly? You don't have a victim mentality. People got a victim mentality today. Well, there I was, and then I'm a victim of all these things in my life. All things work together for good. Everybody's a victim of things nowadays. No consequences, no actions, none of this, none of that. Everybody's a victim. It just happened in my life. And sometimes things just happen in our lives. And I'm not saying everything that comes to our life comes directly from the hand of God. I am saying this. Listen now, listen. I am saying no matter where it came from or how it came from, if we'll be right and do right, God will make everything work together for good. So consequently, even the things that happened in our lives, in our innocency, in our childhood, in our upbringing, those things, God didn't want bad things to happen to children. God didn't want bad things to happen to young people. God didn't want innocent people to suffer. He did not want that. You understand that this morning. But even the Almighty God of heaven is able to take those things, not His fault, not His cause, not His reason, He can even take that and make something good out of it. And then you'll find out that you're not a victim. God has taken even the bitter of life, the difficult things of life, the broken things of life, the hard things of life, and even the God of heaven can take those things and make good come out of it. So I'm not a victim the rest of my life. Hi, I'm Joe, I'm a drunk. No, you're not. If you're sober, you're not a drunk anymore. You're not a victim any longer. Oh yeah, I'm a victim of child abuse. No, it happened to you, and God bless you. But there's healing and grace and strength, and even God can take something as difficult as that by the hands of a wicked soul. And if you handle it the right way with His grace, God can even make something good come out of that in our lives. So you know when someone's not handling Romans 8:28, we're not applying it correctly, when they got a victim mentality. They go around the rest of their life, the walking wounded, the broken souls, the torn up lives, the destroyed hope. People with things that happened in their life years ago that have, they said, has ruined my life for the rest of my life. I'll never have a good life again. No, I'm sorry, that's not true. Because see, all things work together for good. He's even able to take the most difficult things that are not His fault or yours and still make something good come out of that. Because all things work together for good. If we applied that verse correctly, listen, we've applied it the way we're supposed to, then there's no victim mentality. There's no, well, I'm ruined for the rest of my life. That's just it. My life will always be damaged. I'll be damaged goods the rest of my life. No, you won't. No, you won't. There's healing. There's grace. There's God. There's the hand of Almighty God. No, you won't. No, you won't. Unless you really don't believe God could actually make something good come out of something really bad. That lady standing there looking, she didn't smile, she didn't laugh, she just said, I'm the recipient of a flood. I'm not a victim. All things work together for good, okay? If you believe and trust that God has allowed all things to come to your life, and if they are not His cause, He can still make good come out of that, then you're not a victim anymore. Number two, we know we've handled Romans 8:28 and applied it correctly when there's no bitterness in our heart about things. Now look here. Does God have a right to do with you as He deems best? Does He? Does God? Listen to me. If you belong to Him now, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. Does He have a right to do what He deems best by you, with your life, with what He allows and what He doesn't allow? Example, Joseph in the book of Genesis. You need to start about Genesis 37 and read to the end of that book, it's another 13 chapters, and see the life of the man Joseph. Joseph was taken by his brothers, and because of their jealousy, was sold as a slave. Those slave owners that bought Joseph, took him to Egypt, sold him again, twice sold as a slave. Now he's working as a house slave in a man named Potiphar's house. His wife comes along, lays eyes on him, and Joseph refuses to yield to her wickedness, and she accuses him of raping her, and Joseph gets thrown in prison. So from a slave to now a prisoner, all unjust, all of it. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. And 20 years of his life go by, 20 years. Joseph was 17. When his brothers sold him as a slave. He's 37 years old. In that prison, he interprets a dream for Pharaoh. And you know what happens? God exalts Joseph to the throne. And he's the most powerful man in Egypt, except the Pharaoh himself. And then the day comes, where Joseph and his brothers come and present themselves before him. Oh. Now he's got the power to get even. 20 years of his life just got flushed because of those fools right there. And they come. They don't know it's Joseph. And they ask for food and help, and he helps them out, plays a little cat and mouse with them. After a while, then Joseph reveals himself to his brothers and says, I'm your brother Joseph that you sold into slavery. Oh, Oh, I hope we get to heaven. We get kind of a view back on some things in Bible history, because I'd love to see their face. Second most powerful man in the most powerful empire on the world at the time, and they just found out that's the guy we ripped off. We threw him under the bus 20 years ago, and now he has the power to destroy us. I'm Joseph, your brothers. And then he says this, you thought you meant to me for bad on this. He says, but God meant it for good. Romans 8:28 in the Old Testament. Oh, yeah. And he said, see, I found out now after some time that what you did was really kind of God took all that and he put me in a position where I could defeat and take care of you and our family. And our posterity will be preserved, guys, and you didn't even realize you thought you were doing bad. God meant it for good. There wasn't an ounce of bitterness in this man's heart. Nothing. And they cost him 20 years of his life, took away his childhood, robbed him of his youth, took him away from his family. He would never see his mother again. She died while he was in Egypt. All of this is taken from Joseph, and he has no bitterness because, listen, Joseph realized if you give God time, he works all things together for good. If you get off God's side of Romans 8:28, and you let God work this thing out, it'll all work together for good. It's amazing what God can do with things we don't see, but he doesn't always do it in our time frame. And the way that we think, hey, Joseph was climbing the ladder of success the wrong direction. Two times slave, once in prison. That's not exactly what you call a Tony Robbins success story. He's down the tubes. But he had to get to prison to interpret the dream for Pharaoh, for the Pharaoh's butler, so he could be exalted and put on the throne. God was in the program all along, and all Joseph had to do was just love God and live in his purpose. And it all came together. We're good. Hey, I'm sorry, people. We can all rack up our list of why we're bitter at this and bitter at that and bitter at the world and bitter at everybody else. And we can do all that if we want to, ladies and gentlemen. But the bottom line is, it's not life that embitters us. It's not circumstances that embitter us. It's not troubles that embitter us. It is us leaving the God of Romans 8:28 out of the all things of our life. If you've applied it right, there's no bitterness. Number three, if you apply it right, there's no loss of faith either. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it lists these pieces of the armor of the Christian. And one of those pieces is a shield of faith. And I thought to myself, shield of faith? Well, that's because you're in a battle. You need a shield to protect yourself, as it says there, from the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. You know what happens if a Christian does a Romans 8:28, applies it correctly, and applies it the way that they're supposed to? They have a shield that protects them in life from the stuff that takes place, and they don't lose their confidence in God. Look at me. Don't give up yet. Well, it just doesn't seem to be working out. Your time frame? I just can't see it. You don't have to. Hey, excuse me. Where is your faith anyhow? What's happened to us today? Our faith is in the circumstances. So we look at the circumstances. If they turn out for good, well, then that's all things work together for good. What if it doesn't come out the way you want? What if it's not your good? Well, why shouldn't my good be all right? I mean, after all, I don't want anything bad. I just want what's best. Do you want what's best? You mean your determination of what's best? What you really think is the good in life? Or is it really the truth of the matter is we just totally lost confidence God can really turn something around? Can he? Can he do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think? Isn't there something about it with God? Nothing shall be impossible. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Yeah, I know all the verses. Stop knowing them and start believing them. Get your faith back in this book and the God behind that book. Listen to me. There's no loss of faith with Romans 8:28. Oh, we may stand there and have our questions. I'm talking in my class this morning about our doubts and settling our doubts about things. I have doubts. Look at the way the world is today. You can't tell me you think that's going to turn out good. There's no way. That's a mess out there. Yes? I have doubts about things. I have doubts about stuff. I've questioned my mind sometimes. I come to a place where I have doubts in my life. I even doubted God a few times. But I always settle it. And I come out of it with faith instead of doubt. And if you leave yourself in the realm of doubt, friends, you are in big trouble. You understand? There's no loss of faith. If I've applied Romans 8:28 right, and we know that all things work together for good, that's His good, not mine. In His time, not mine. In His way, not mine. I've got to be willing to wait on God and just trust that He'll bring it together. There's no loss of faith. You're okay. Everything's going to be fine. And then you can go on when there aren't answers. You can go on until you can't see the good. You can go on until God works it out. And when He does, you know what? You'll come out of it with even greater faith and stronger faith, because you know, if I just give Him time. He had made everything beautiful in His time. It's not what faith you have when something happens that matters. It's what faith you have left when it's over, or while you're going through it. Well, I've just lost all my faith. No, say it the right way. You left it. It isn't. No one can take your faith away from you. You give that up. You just decide, I'm not waiting on this anymore. I'm done. Look at me. Then you just pull Romans 8:28 out of your Bible. You might as well just go mark it off and say, I don't believe all things can work together for good. That's the end of it for me. No. Faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in His will. That's a shield of faith. Say, you're hiding behind your faith, Pastor Johnson. No, I shield myself against all that would try to take it away from me. You're not getting that one. Sorry. They can take a lot of stuff from my life, but they cannot take, they have to take it from my cold, dead fingers before I give up. I'm not going to lose faith in God. One more thing this morning on how we know if we applied Romans 8:28 right, and that's this. The second half of the verse. To them, not everybody, just them, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know, you've applied it correctly, friend. Listen to me. While you're waiting for God to work all things for good, while you're trusting Him to do that, listen now, no matter what, you still love God. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? We just sang that song, huh? 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. We revel in how much He loves us. Do you revel in how much you love Him? He loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally this morning. You could be a God-hating fool who shakes their fist in the face of God and defies His existence. He still loves you. And nobody loves you like that. The stinking devil doesn't love you like that. Nobody loves you like God loves you. Oh, that's amazing. I'm sorry. I haven't gotten over it yet. Little boy heard first time, John 3:16, that God loved me. I've been amazed and awash in the love of God. I just can't believe He loves me unconditionally. And He doesn't even ask me, require of me to love Him back for Him to love me. But He does ask us if we would consider it, please. Why should He even have to ask? You've applied Romans 8:28 right. Well, look here. While you're going through whatever it is, there it is, whatever it exists in your life, you still love God. Because look here, watch me. Look here. You got an anchor that you hold on to. I don't get it, but I still love Him. Haven't you seen people do that? Somebody, their loved one, son or a daughter or a family member or a spouse, treats them rotten. Just terrible. But there's always this last statement. But I love them. But I still love them. It's like it's the last stop. It's the last hold before everything is gone. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen? God has not treated us wrongly. God has not hurt us. God has not done us wrong. Can't we just say, hey, listen, you've applied it right when it's all over and said and done, even without answers to the questions, even without resolutions to the problems, you can still say, but I love Him. But I love Him. I've told this story here before, so forgive me for repeating a story. Years ago, I was going through some battles with a few folks. It seemed like every time I turned around, I got chewed out by somebody. I was sitting in my little office in the garage, which I still have, when we lived in Cottonwood. Someone called up and told me what they thought about me. It wasn't encouraging. It wasn't a blessing. Whenever they call and say, I'm going to tell you what I think about you, you should probably just go ahead and hang up. I didn't, and they chewed me out. said, okay, thank you. I hung the phone up. I said, you know what, God? One more phone call like that, I'm out of here. I'll tell all these people, go, we're trying to save them from, I'm out of here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you do that to God, listen to me carefully. You know what's going to happen. What happens, church? The phone rings. Okay, now number two, do not pick it up. If you're dumb enough to challenge God like that, he's going to have some idiot call you. You know why it happened. One more person, God, and I'm out of here. Ring, ring, don't pick it up. It's like he had him waiting, and the last number had to be pushed to get through to you. Man, the phone rang, and I picked it up. Oh, man, this one really laid me out. 40, 50 mile an hour gust up to 70 and 80. I mean, they were blowing and going about all the stuff they didn't care about and all the things they didn't like. By the way, the two phone calls were completely opposite. What the person in the first phone call was mad about, the person in the second phone call really appreciated. Now, I know, when I got drunk after a building project. But anyway, so they're going at it, having at it. I don't get drunk, I just sip a little. And so they're I put the phone down, and I mean, they're going. Woo! I mean, they're flying. After a while, I said, okay, thanks. And instead of hanging up the phone, I smashed the receiver down on the phone in my office in my garage. And I broke it in my hand. Just, and I lost it. It was lunchtime for our family. They're in our garage is right up next to the kitchen area, and the kids are in there, and my wife's in there about ready to have lunch. And I lost it. I tore my office apart. Tipped over my bookcases. I didn't go, oh, fall over. I mean, I threw them down. I had a fit. Threw the desk up in the air, pounced the wall. I mean, threw the phone against the wall. I had a duck. I mean, I had a fit. I think one of the kids opened the door and said, Daddy, I said, close that door! I had a little door exit and I out of the garage to the outside. I told God, I said, that's it. I told you, the phone, and they did, and I'm out of here. I quit. That's it. Started walking down the street, just having a fit. My neighbors must have thought I was the maniac of Gadara. I was waving my arms and carrying on. Walked down about two blocks or so, these big power up line stanchions were there, big poles, you know, power lines over here in Cottonwood. There was one of these big concrete revetments. I sat down on there and I'm just sitting there telling God how mad I was and how rotten it was to get treated like this and everything else. And took a breath, and I thought, what is that? And I started feeling stinging, and I looked down, and I was sitting on an anthill, and they had crawled up my britches. Don't enjoy that. And brother, they were hungry ants, and they thought I was lunch. And whoo, my soul, I mean, it was a pile of ants that crawled up my britches, up the back of my shirt, and proceeded to bite and sting the fire out of me. I got up, and I'm doing one of these numbers, trying to put them out, get them off of me like that, crying. Then I started to laugh, and I thought, God has a sense of humor. You know that? I quit on him, and he's going to get me eat alive right here up against this pole. I can't believe that. And I'm putting my, and I started crying and I was laughing and carrying on. My neighbors thought I was crazy. And then I stopped. And I told them I was sorry. I shouldn't quit on them like that. And then I said it. I said, but you know, God, this is going to sound funny, but I do love you. Look here. Hear me? That was the anchor that got me through my storm. I love you, God, and I'm sorry. I won't quit you, I promise. I'll do what you want me to do. If you just get these cotton-picking ants out of my pants, they're causing me serious grief. Hungry ants, very hungry ants. But I went home, opened the door to my office. I looked in there, and I thought, what in the world happened in here? It's like I lost my mind or something. There was stuff thrown all over the place. And I thought, oh, you did that, stupid. You tore your arm. Now you got to buy a phone and put everything back together. And I did. And I picked things back up, and I put them back together. And I got my Bible out, and I spent time with God. See, the proof of Romans 8:28 is you love him, and you keep doing what he tells you to do. That's how you know. You love him, and you live in his purpose. Yeah, but Pastor John, now look at me. You love him, and you live in his purpose. He's put up with so much junk from you in life. I don't care if you're one of these little clean sinners. We're all sinners, amen? I said we're all sinners, amen? He's put up with a lot of junk from us, dear people, and he still loved you, cared for you. The truth is, you can love him back. That'll hold you in life. It will hold you. Romans 8:28 will. It'll. You've applied it right. You still love God? Of course you do. You live in his purpose? Absolutely. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.